Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. We scored an author, a world thinker, and her name happens to be Dr. Danette Snead Perez is joining us this morning. She wrote a fabulous book called Church, What to Do When Everyone is Like You. And we can go to diaspora.com. That's diaspra.com.
Good morning to you.
We're talking before the show, which should be a show, about voiceovers. And you voiced your own book, Church, What to Do When Everyone is Like You.
Do that voiceover here in Charlotte at a wonderful studio. It's such an opportunity. You never know how people want to purchase your book. So some may want the paperback, some may want the ebook, but many people want to be able to walk and listen to the book. So I highly recommend, and you can also hire someone if you're not comfortable reading your own book, but it is a great opportunity that allows you to really hear your book in real time.
So the million-dollar question, Dr. Danette Snead Perez, is community more important or culture?
I think we have to really understand the difference between the two, right? So culture, if you think of culture as how we express our ideas and the way that we do things, the rules that we respect, the outward expressions, culture is our food, the clothing that we wear, the objects inside of our home. If you think of culture as an iceberg, when we meet someone for the first time, only a portion of what we see is above the waterline, correct? There is so much more that's below the waterline. So that's true exactly when we meet someone for the first time. We're only seeing a little. We're seeing their face, their expressions. We're seeing the material that they're wearing, some objects that are around them. But we don't have the opportunity to see the larger portion of what's missing, their values, their beliefs, their attitudes, their perceptions, their assumptions, their mindset. All of that happens when we build relationships with people, and we discover that as we build trust with each other.
And relationships do affect our lives. So what are the different types of relationships we experience? It depends on our circle.
It does. It depends on our circle. But remember, we meet everyone as a stranger. Even our own family, we meet them as strangers. When we're born, we are a stranger. And then we gravitate from stranger to neighbor, to friends, to deep friendships, and to intimate relationships. And what's so important about that is how we transition. We must actually have that organic transition. We actually do not skip the steps. We go from stranger to neighbor to friends. When we meet someone for the first time, they're a stranger, we often meet them in a public space. We notice their physical appearance. We may hear their dialect, their mannerisms, and how they're responding verbally and physically and emotionally to us, right? But we limit that conversation. There's no personal information in that conversation. If cultural sameness is important to us and it is shared during that conversation, we'll say, oh, I really enjoyed meeting that person, right? And if cultural sameness is important to you, but it is not shared in that conversation, you may say, wow, that was a difficult conversation. I really don't know why we didn't seem to mesh. It could all be built around the culture that we're experiencing at that moment. So, and it only takes a few seconds for us to really perceive that. And a positive interaction, the more positive interactions we have with the same stranger, then we'll transition this, or could transition this relationship to a neighbor relationship.
Remember, they used to say it was love at first sight, doctor.
Chances are there was something in the cultural exchange that between the two that just clicked for them. See, it's not time driven. So stranger to neighbor to friends to deep friendships, that happens in different time frames. And for some people, it's quicker than others. If we transition a relationship to a neighbor relationship, we've moved that relationship. There's comfort in our conversations. We're still probably meeting in a public space. We're not in a private space yet, but we're actually engaging. We're discovering that there's a common interest between us, and we're sharing positive thoughts and feelings with each other that can lead us to more encounters in the neighbor field that we become friends. And then as a friend, what happens is we are laughing with each other. We are teasing each other. We're sharing personal stories. We have moved into a private space, right? At that point, I may invite you to my home. You may invite me to your home. We're having more of a genuine conversation, sharing similar activities. We may be part of the same spiritual formation group or the same classroom, or, you know, we just continue to build that relationship, which continues to build trust.
When you said space, I thought about, ooh, what about that social distancing? I know it all affected us, but how does it play a part in our relationships?
You know, COVID changed the way that we live. It changed how we gather, especially churches, but schools, how we gathered for eating out, what we feel now about office space and how that has even changed. The gathered has scattered is what I say. The new ways that we're learning to gather now and leading in this new season, especially in this new season of ministry, is just so encouraging. And it has forever changed how we gather. So I encourage pastors to recognize two things. Are we growing from the inside, which means we're learning new things, or is the outside environment changing how we gather so much? So I always say that an egg can be broken in two ways, pressure on the inside or pressure from the outside. If the pressure comes from the inside, there is new birth and growth. If the pressure comes from the outside, that egg is crushed. It has to be repurposed or eaten or used for, or thrown away or done something. We must do something new with it. So if we think of our congregations as eggs, we have to remind ourselves in this new time of ministry that we must continue to grow from the inside. So there's new birth and growth. Our mission is to guide churches to build diverse and inclusive relationships so that they're reaching across cultural boundaries of race and gender, generation, and social class to fulfill their ministry for God's mission. And that is so important as we continue to fulfill the Great Commission to reach all people for Christ. And yet our pews tell us who we are and are not reaching. When we meet with congregations and ministry teams and seminaries, we talk about where you are right now and how you're building relationships with people who are not like you. And that's why I named the book Church, What to Do When Everyone is Like You. Our goal is to understand how are we building relationships? And we start with ourselves and then we move outwards. We've engaged in courageous conversations. And then I'll ask the question, what's next? Or they want to know, well, what do we do now? And always the answer is, let's start with you and let's begin to figure out how we can build relationships with people who are not like you that are surrounding the church building itself. And so it is a process of introspective, of looking at ourselves and then understanding the concepts of the different types of relationships and how we can move from stranger to neighbor to friends and to deep friendships. We're sitting where other people sit. We stand where other people stand, and we learn their story and we share our own. When I hear churches that say we are a multicultural church, in essence, what it means to say we're a multicultural church, it means that everyone is in the room. Multicultural means that everyone's in the room. What we want to say is that we are an intercultural church. We're not only just in the room, but there is an intercultural exchange between us, right? We understand that we're not all the same. This is not a melting pot, that we all come with our own knowledge and skills and awareness. And so we welcome you wholly. We welcome you to bring all of yourself to this congregation, and we become a new body of Christ every time someone else joins our congregation. We're not expecting someone to assimilate into us, to be like us, but rather come as your whole self and share and be and allow this to be an intercultural exchange.
You can join Dr. Danette Sneed-Perez starting May 1st at Sardis Baptist Church for the 4-week book study on her book called Church, What to Do When Everyone Looks Like You. So just go to diaspora.com and inquire and then attend. You have done so much work in the community. Has that been your life all along?
You know, I self-identify as a relationship builder because when I attended first grade, I was the only Black child in the school. Understanding how to navigate spaces that were people that were not like me started at 6 years of age. And that has continued all of my life. I also pastored a Burmese refugee congregation for 3 years. And when I joined this congregation, I did not speak the language and I did not know the culture. But we found comfort in our differences between pastor and congregation. I learned the language enough to speak it. My sermons were translated, but I engaged in the language for call and response and understood the culture more and more. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if many of us placed ourselves in situations where we are not the majority, but we are the minority, so that we understand what it is to navigate a space different from the one that we find comfort in, the culture that we find comfort in. I encourage congregations, individuals to do this on a regular basis. Join groups with people who are not like you, right? Whether it's exercise groups or any type of group, a Bible study, a book study, get to know people. That is the way that we heal the divide in our nation. I encourage you to start with yourselves, to understand how are you building relationships? Who are your closest friends? We can connect with people who are not like us. And yes, it may be awkward. Yes, it may be difficult, but we all have that choice to make those decisions and to engage in the world that we live in. Community only takes two people. Well, it takes two people to build a community. So we can go out from there and build relationships with people who are not like us. It is that easy. It is that simple. And we, you know, I'd love for, if you're interested in that, please connect with me at diaspora.com. We can actually come and visit your congregation, your group. We can engage with you individually, your ministry team, the seminary, the church as a whole, the congregation, and really share this path. I call it a journey out of the wilderness of sameness into an inclusive landscape. We'll walk you through it.
Ooh, we can get you to come out to speak to our groups. And I know you could do it virtually with us.
Yes, we actually have the offer of the class virtually, and we'll actually be holding the class here in Charlotte at Sardis Baptist Church on Sardis Road. You're invited to come and join with us. We're going to use the course virtually, what we're learning, how we're engaging, and then go back and have it virtually every week. So they'll have the opportunity to have the virtual course and then to meet some people and really talk about how are we building relationships with people who are not like us. So we welcome everyone to come and just join us. Sardis Baptist Church. Contact Sardis Baptist Church or just contact me at diaspora.com.
You can join Dr. Danette Snead-Perez starting May 1st at Sardis Baptist Church for the 4-week book study on her book called Church, What to Do When Everyone Looks Like You. So just go to diaspora.com and inquire and then attend. Got it. And your social handle is Dr. Danette, and Dr. Danette is just D-R and then it's D-A-Y-N-E-T-T-E.
That's it.
The author of the book, Church. Before you leave out, you have to tell us about your other career because we got 60 more seconds.
I'm engaged in disaster response for Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which is a large fellowship of churches here nationwide. And I'm the domestic disaster response manager and leading disaster response for our churches nationwide. So when there's a disaster in the nation, we serve under-resourced and underserved communities in the wake of a disaster. And so that is our focus, because oftentimes what you see on TV and disasters, you'll see where the disaster happened or the biggest city that it happened in, but yet 30, 40 miles down the road, people were also affected and the communities are under-resourced. So we focus on that primarily.
Good for you. We're going to take a short break, but guess what? We're coming right back. Dr. Danette, thank you so much. Diaspora.com is where you can find her. Get her on the schedule.
Thank you, Francine. It's great.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.